Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. You know him from Seinfeld and from lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of other TV shows. I know him as the dog show announcer. I'm talking about John O'Hurley. He'll be here, and so will the president of the Human Animal Bond Association, Dr. Laird Goodman. My friend Mark Ayers is the Illinois director of the Humane Society of the United States. And Mark, I am jumping up and down because I know you have good news to report.
Thanks a lot, Steve. It's good to be with you. And I'm jumping up and down myself. I can hardly contain myself here in front of my laptop and working home remotely. If you could see me, you'd probably laugh because I'm so giddy over the two things that just passed in DuPage County yesterday morning. DuPage County passed not one, but two amazing pro-animal welfare reforms at the county level, one involving a humane pet store ordinance, and another was involving a contract between the county fairgrounds and the county board, basically eliminating circuses and traveling shows happening at the fairgrounds for the next 3 years. So I'm happy to talk about both of those in depth with you today.
Okay, so let's talk about what went on past tense now at these fairgrounds that won't happen anymore.
So the fairgrounds, the way that this works is the fairgrounds leases the land from the DuPage County Board, and so they have to have a contract in place. And the last contract was 30 years in the making, and it just expires this December. And so a new contract had to be written. And we worked at the DuPage County Board and DuPage County Animal Services and some amazing county board members there to basically include some language in the contract that ends live animal demonstrations and exhibits, and not limited to circuses, rodeos, traveling zoos, animal rides, petting zoos, and everything else in between. And so it really ends the animal exploitation that we see at those major roadside menageries, those traveling zoos and traveling shows and exhibits there at the county fairgrounds for the next 3 years via this new contract.
So if you're wondering, well, why do we need to do this? They had ponies go around and they had some other things, you know. Well, one of the things they had, I think, were like dancing bears or something like, I don't know what it was, but something like that, Mark, that you could explain probably better than I can. I mean, they had animals there that it was, exploitation is a perfect word, that just don't belong there. It's one thing for an animal to be in a zoo, very well cared for, given enrichment and love in a way from the keepers. And it's another thing to take these shows on the road with wild animals. It's just not appropriate. And potentially in some of these cases, we've now known more than we ever did, or at least are paying attention to potential disease transmission as well.
That's exactly right. A lot of this contract was about public safety and public health. I mean, we've seen numerous exhibitors at the county fairgrounds bringing in live exotic animals, from reptiles, amphibians, to primates, and even sometimes big cats and bears, and letting people touch them, interact with them, get photo ops with them. And it's notoriously cruel for some of these animals to be separated at a young age from their mothers. And it really is something that we're trying to work on ending statewide and around the country. And DuPage County really took the first step in getting this done. So we're so excited that they got this done. It was the first county in the whole state to do it, and I hope others follow in their footsteps. And I do just want to add that there were some common sense exemptions carved out in this contract for some AKC events, animal training events, and other activities, you know, 4-H sponsored events. But by and large, this was a major, major victory for banning some of these animals that are commonly used in some of these circuses and traveling shows for the county.
Well, and congratulations to you, Mark, as well as to the folks in DuPage County who did this, because it is the right thing to do. It's almost like about time. So I'm glad it's being done now. That's great. Now, this is one of two things we wanted to talk about.
The other thing is I'm even more excited about is an actual ordinance that passed in DuPage County. And this involves pet stores and puppy mills. And so you and your audience are very familiar with these humane pet store ordinances. They're sweeping the state and sweeping the country. And DuPage just passed unanimously this new ordinance on Tuesday. But what's different about this one, Steve, is that it declares puppy mills and kitten mills as a public nuisance. And also the pet stores that peddle those animals as also a public nuisance. And so in scope, what this ordinance does is it gives DuPage County authority to investigate these pet stores in unincorporated DuPage County to be able to enter those stores, investigate what's happening inside of those stores if there are complaints, and even in some cases, remove those animals, get them seen by a veterinarian, and even begin the court process and citations and violations against these stores for violating the ordinance that just passed.
And what you're talking about by humane ordinance is that no dogs or cats, or in many cases rabbits, should be sold at pet stores. So many cities, and you'll tell me how many in Illinois, have now passed this. And as you say, it's happening all over the country. How many cities in Illinois, and why is it important?
So DuPage County, this made number 20. This was the 20th humane pet store ordinance that we passed in Illinois, which is a major, major success for the state. The snowball effect with this in Illinois, it can't be understated. And as a whole, with DuPage passing this on Tuesday, we reached 368 ordinances in the entire country, and now three states have now done this statewide.
Yes, and I suspect, in fact, let me rephrase that. I know that more states have this in the hopper, and it probably would have happened, Mark, in some states that you and I can mention, which I would. You know, New Jersey is one of them. New York is one of them. If it weren't for COVID and the state legislators concentrating appropriately, one can argue, on public health issues, it probably would have passed in those states and others as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we were so close in New York City, or I'm sorry, New York State. Like you mentioned, I believe it passed in one chamber out
right
there, and then, you know, they ran out of time to finish it in the other chamber. But we've seen this introduced in about a half dozen states, including Illinois. We introduced it, you know, earlier this year before COVID hit. And like you said, it kind of destroyed all the efforts in some of the other states to get that done. But, you know, we'll be back. And the allies and stakeholders will be back, and we'll be putting this stuff forward with other stakeholders again next spring. You can count on that.
Well, you could read more about this on my blog, and that's stevedale.tv. Mark, first of all, a personal congratulations to you and Bella, because you guys have a new family member, correct? Who you would call your wife?
I will call her my wife. Yes, we just got married a couple weeks ago, and it was a nice, very small, socially distant COVID wedding here in Springfield, but we couldn't be more thrilled. And yes, I now have a daughter I call my fur child as part of our official little family, Bella Barbara.
Yeah, she was the flower girl?
She was she was our little flower girl, and they even let her come into the court building and be part of our official ceremony. So thanks to the Sangamon County Clerk for letting us get her in.
Well, congratulations to you, and congratulations to you for on the marriage, but also for getting this done for the state of Illinois. Mark Ayers, Humane Society of the United States, always good to talk to you.
Thank you, Steve.
Dr. Laird Goodman is the president of the board of the Human-Animal Bond Association, former board member of Pet Partners, very involved in all sorts of avenues in veterinary medicine, but it all weaves back, I think, Dr. Goodman, to the human-animal bond. So here's the first question, the impossible question. What is the human-animal bond?
Steve, that is a great question. And, you know, the answer is it's really something different for everybody, I think. I'm sure you've run into this and you're running around the country speaking on the human-animal bond. But when I ask people, you know, what does the human-animal bond mean to you? I get a different answer from all different kinds of people. For some people, it's unconditional love. Some people say it's their best friend. Some people say it's my everything. But essentially, it's just a special connection that people have with animals.
Well, I think that special connection people have with animals is what I want to go with right now, because when we think of the human-animal bond, we appropriately think of the bond we have with dogs and cats or other companion animals. However, if you feed deer in your backyard, don't you have a bond with those deer? Some of you may even give some of those deer names. There are so many people, millions around the country, literally, that feed community cats. And similarly, isn't there a bond? But moreover, zookeepers. That's right, zookeepers with a hippopotamus that they may be caring for. Does the human-animal bond extend way beyond what we typically may think about, Dr. Goodman?
Oh, absolutely, Steve. And, you know, you could keep adding things. You know, beekeepers, I think they have a strong bond with the bees.
Yeah.
Bird watchers have strong bonds with birds. And, yeah, historically, we tend to think about, you know, dogs, cats, and horses. And furthermore, I think we tend to think what do animals do for us. And we forget about, you know, what we're doing for them. And I think that's an important component of the human-animal bond, that it be a mutually beneficial relationship.
You know, and it's considered sometimes lightweight by some to talk about the human-animal bond. However, I think the reverse is true, and I'm curious as to what your take is on this. I think we don't talk often enough about it. For starters, if there were no human-animal bond, people wouldn't have dogs or cats for themselves. But also, I think what we've learned in the pandemic is we actually have this inkling inside of us to want, in some way, even a small way, watching squirrels, to connect with nature. What do you think?
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. I think that you know, people have theorized that there's actually a genetic component, our attraction to animals, or maybe an instinctual notion to bond with animals. And, you know, one of the founders of the human-animal bond, Leo Bustad, when he was a prisoner of war in World War II, he said the thing that he missed most and the thing that he clung to that kept him going was nature and a connection to animals. Hmm. That he kept thinking about that, and that kept him going in a very difficult time.
Now, you are president of the Human-Animal Bond Association. Tell me a bit about this organization. And it's a membership organization, inexpensive, I think, membership. So how can people join if they are so inclined?
Yeah. The Human-Animal Bond Association has been in existence for about almost 30 years now. And it was started as a group for like-minded veterinarians to talk about something that back in the day wasn't talked about much, this human-animal bond. And then as the organization grew, we started inviting allied professionals into the group, and now veterinary technicians, veterinary students make up a big part of what we do and what we're about. But essentially, it's very easy to join if you want to support the human-animal bond and everything we do as an organization. You can look us up at humananimalbond.net, and you're right, it's $50 to become a member, and if you are a student of any kind, veterinary student, veterinary technician student, or just a high school or university student, you can join for free.
Oh, I like that word. It's worth going back to school just to do that. And and to clarify, you don't have to be a veterinary professional to join. If you're just interested in either companion animals or the human-animal bond in general, you can do so. Again, that website is?
thehumananimalbond.net.
All right. Dr. Laird Goodman, thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.
I think this is the 500th time I've talked to John O'Hurley, and it seems to be always before a dog show. You know John O'Hurley from Seinfeld, a variety of other TV shows. You know him from Broadway, but he doesn't miss not having to go to Broadway now because he's got a dog show he's going to do, the National Dog Show on Thanksgiving Day, on NBC in all time zones everywhere from noon to 2. John, I think my first question is, this dog show's been going on a very long time, and it began
500 years. Well, 500 years,
yes.
You told me. Yes, you're right.
Yes.
We were back in the Middle Ages when we started this.
Well, that's dog years or something. I don't know. But it began with about 19 million viewers, which sure isn't bad. Today,
no, it isn't. It stunned everybody since we were replacing a hole in the NBC schedule where they would normally show reruns of It's a Wonderful Life.
What's the appeal, do you think, that is so overwhelming, and I don't think I'm understating there, of a dog show?
Well, I think it's the fact that, you know, our dogs are part of our families, and this is the great family day of the year, and people are gathered together, and they want to have something on television that everybody can enjoy. Football doesn't appeal to everybody. And also it has a very regional feel to it. So people enjoy putting that dog show on, and they can all sit down, and they can have fun, laugh, enjoy. It's not political. It's just a lot of fun, and it gives a common ground for whether you're 4 or you're 94. There's something for you.
So tell me the truth. You go to the, just between us, you go to the last commercial break, and then you're waiting for the judge to say, best in show winner is... do you guys bet back and forth?
Oh, you bet we do.
Really?
You know, it's as much love as there is behind the microphones on that, and how much respect we have for each other, you better believe that we're as competitive as can be.
And I'm talking so people know.
Absolutely, and I always... You know, for many years, I pushed the Irish Setter because I always thought the Irish Setter represented the perfect show dog. And what I mean by that is that it just when it comes into the ring with that wonderful erect frame,
yeah,
and the hair, that auburn hair flowing back and forth, it is, you can't take your eyes off it. It's like the redhead that walked into the cocktail party.
I agree.
Unfortunately, in later years, I have really swung to the sympathy factor for the Golden Retriever.
Yeah,
you know, America's number one or number two registered dog, and it never seems to break into that best in show category. And yet, we've had some absolutely breathtaking Golden Retrievers over the years, but the judges just don't like to go into that corner. I can't tell you why. I don't know.
Well, I want to know why from you. You know, I assume people know, but I should say, the broadcast partner that I'm talking about is David Fry, mm-hmm, whose name I hate to mention on the radio, you know. But you guys do have this amazing rapport. And it's like, you know, some broadcast teams, if you're a baseball fan or a hockey fan, some broadcast teams, they kind of work. You're a sports broadcasting team. What makes it work? What do you think that chemistry really is?
Well, we have very similar senses of humor. I think always everything begins with a common sense of irony,
uh-huh,
and we have that very. You know, we get the quirkiness of our senses of humor, and we try to make it upbeat and fun, and also informative. So we have a common goal. You know, we know we're not curing cancer with this, but we are having, you know, we have the responsibility of several hours of entertainment for people that are sitting on their sofas with their dogs that are rooting there, as David calls it, for the alma mater factor, mm-hmm, you know, with their dog there seated. And we have a certain responsibility to keep it light, bright, and entertaining and moving along.
Well, you sure do. It is again on Thursday, National Dog Show on NBC. Noon.
Dogs until two.
I like that better than what I was going to say. Noon till two, but yours is much more catchy. John
That's
O'Hurley.
Right. Football after two.
John O'Hurley, thank you so much.
Great to talk to you as always, Steve.
So a reminder for all of you. First of all, happy Thanksgiving. But a reminder is, I want your pets to be safe over Thanksgiving. And I've talked about this before, about turkey or, for that matter, ham or chicken. There's skin or fat on that turkey or chicken or ham, that can be a problem for dogs. I mean, a huge issue for dogs. It's called pancreatitis, and just a little bit, surprisingly, very little of it can cause this problem, which may lead not only to a veterinary emergency visit, but a dog that may be sick for days or even weeks at a time when it all could be avoided. So make sure that not only are your guests, if you're having guests this year, not give your dog the turkey or ham or chicken with the fat or skin on it, but also that the dog doesn't get into the trash. That's often how it happens. And here's a great idea. So all of you are around the dinner table having Thanksgiving dinner, and the dog says, I want some too. So what you do is you give your dog some, but here's how to do it. So Merrick Pet Care, this is brilliant. they have now. It's a canned food, and it's called Thanksgiving dinner. It's four dogs. And they have another called Turducken, which I love. I love that idea. And I opened up the Thanksgiving dinner one because I got hungry one day. No, for our dog. And it kind of smells like Thanksgiving dinner. But what you do is you open that up and you stuff some of that moist food. So you don't give a whole can to your dog. Oh, no, don't do that. But you stuff some of it inside a hard toy of some kind, you know, a sterilized bone, maybe a Kong toy. And you put that in another room. So you're having Thanksgiving dinner over there, and your dog safely is having his or her own Thanksgiving dinner in another room. I love that idea. I'll talk to you next week on Steve Dale's Pet World, and have a happy Thanksgiving.